complete in Him. You know, growing up, I never had to wonder if I could come home. I never had to wonder if I was still accepted in my home. That was never a question. I was complete, if you will, in the Smart family. I was always welcome home. And I'm thankful in my spiritual life, I never have to wonder. I may disappoint my father sometimes, but I'm always complete in him. I'm always welcome because I'm his child. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse number 15. Lord willing, next Sunday night, we're going to begin a series in the book of Revelation. We preached through the book of Revelation back in 2010. And we began to go back through it back in 2017 on Wednesday nights. And we did just a couple of messages, and I didn't feel as if that's what we should do, and so I stopped. And Lord willing, next Sunday night we're going to begin a series going back through the book of Revelation. And I ask for your prayers. I don't want to give you just a bunch of rehashed outlines, okay? I want the Lord to give us something fresh. Not that there's anything new per se, but I don't want to give you just rehashed outlines. I want the Lord to give us freshness, and I want it to be, it's 10 years old, it's probably going to be fresh anyway, but I want it to be fresh from me. I want God to give me the message once again, and I want God to help me there. So pray for that. I think it'll be timely. I think it'll be helpful to begin to look at the book of Revelation once again. But tonight, Nehemiah chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 15. Nehemiah 4, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." And tonight, I very simply want to bring you a message entitled, "It's Time to Return to the Wall." It's time to return to the wall. Father, we just want to commit this passage to you tonight, Nehemiah chapter number 4. We thank you for the example that we find in the life of Nehemiah, in the life of this remnant of Jews that came back from Babylon to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Father, I pray that we would find an example of encouragement tonight, a challenge, if you will, just as these individuals had. They were tired, they were worn out, they had many obstacles, but Lord, through the leadership of Nehemiah, it was time to return to the wall. And so Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts tonight as a church family, as a body, as this local New Testament church, Maranatha Baptist Church. Father, would you challenge us and encourage us to see that it's time to return to the wall. Father, I pray for those that are sick, those that are out tonight, those that could not be with us for whatever reason, Lord, we pray that you'd give them a blessing. Father, we pray that you'd help them even at this time, and we'll thank you and praise you for that. Lord, just teach us here tonight. Father, I pray if there's one here in this auditorium or if there's one watching by way of live stream that does not know Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray that they would heed the invitation to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And Lord, I pray that they would come tonight and that they would come very simply and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, we commit these next few moments to you. We ask your blessings upon them, and we just pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter number 4, the remnant of Jews that had come back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. If you remember in Ezra, the temple has been rebuilt, but the walls are still in rubbish. They're still in ruins. We see that in chapter number 1. And these individuals are encountering great opposition as they seek to rebuild the walls. And so I want to go back just real quickly. Let's go back to verse 1, and we'll see some of the opposition, some of the obstacles that they are encountering, and then we'll pick back up at verse number 15. The Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. So in the first six verses we see that they're enduring the obstacles, the opposition of criticism. And then we pick up another in verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, they just began with criticism, but then that criticism turned into a conspiracy to actually stop what they were doing. Conspiracy actually to harm these Jews, if you will. And we'll see that in verse 11, verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So they began with criticism, and now they've set up a strategy, a conspiracy, if you will, to come and to actually kill the Jews, to actually stop the building of the walls of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. They heard about their counsel. God had intervened, and God brought their counsel to naught. The Bible says after that, that we returned all of us to the wall. And then notice that last phrase. Every one unto his work. It's time to return to the wall. And God has given each and every one of us a work to do. Whatever that work may be, whatever spiritual gift God may have given each and every one of us, there's a specific place that God has given us to be plugged in the ministry, in the work of Christ, in the work here in this local New Testament church. And the Bible says, everyone unto his work. It's time to return to the wall. It is time for our church, and I know we've been kind of not at full steam for a couple months, but it's time to return to the wall. And I want to give you 4 reasons tonight from this passage why it's time to return to the wall. Let me give you number 1 tonight. It's time to return to the wall very simply because there are walls to build. It's time to return to the wall, first of all, tonight, because there are walls to build. And whatever that may be, whatever that may entail, whatever that may metaphorically speak of tonight, when we talk about building walls, we're not building the walls of Jerusalem again. We're not building walls around our church per se, but there is work to be done, there are tasks to be done, and there are walls to be built, just like Nehemiah and that remnant had walls to rebuild. Number 1 tonight, it's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build. And Pastor, so what? Look at verse number 19, if you would. We see, first of all, as we think about the walls being rebuilt, we see, first of all, the seriousness of the task. Notice verse 19, "And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another." Notice the first part of the verse. The work is great and large. God hasn't given us a task, a work, if you will, that's not unimportant. God has given us, by the way, as we saw last week with Jochebed, unknown but not unimportant. God has given us a great task. God has given us a large task. God has given us a task that is serious. God has given us a task that has great ramifications. God has given us a task that must be completed for the cause and for the sake of others. These walls were being rebuilt so that they could come and have worship in the temple, so that they could come and be safe when they worshiped in the temple, so that they could come to Jerusalem and be safe in their homes. And God had given them a great task, and God has given us a great task in building the walls, whatever that entails. We see the seriousness of the task. Secondly, we see the selflessness of the task. Notice verse number 23. "So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing." Now, by the way, I'm not asking you to do that tonight. I want you to wash your clothes this week. I want you to change every day. I want you to bathe every day. But the Bible says they were so, they understood how serious the task was, and they were so selfless about the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The Bible says that they had the warriors, if you will, that were standing guard. They had the trumpeters, if you will, that were going to blow the warning sounds, if you will. They had the builders that not only were building, but they also were standing guard with their swords. They all had a sword tied to their side, and they were building selflessly. And he said, "None of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing." It's time to return to the wall, because there are walls to build. There's the seriousness of the task. There should be a selflessness of the task. We ought to be thinking about others. We ought to be thinking about the individuals that we can impact when we come back to the wall and we begin to rebuild, when we come back and begin to minister the way that we've done for so long, when we come back and begin to minister to children and families and individuals over and over and over again. The seriousness of the task, the selflessness of the task. Here's the truth tonight. We can give and proclaim the gospel through that camera right there all day long. Okay, but that camera can't go to a home and help a hurting family. Can't do it. That camera right there can't step into a funeral home and preach a funeral for a family that's grieving over a lost loved one. Can't do it. It's time to return to the wall, because there are walls to build. The seriousness of the task, the selflessness of the task. Number three, the sureness of the task. Would you notice verse number 20? "In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us." Notice this. "Our God shall fight for us." And by the way, let me back up and let's get the whole context here. We've kind of hit or miss on some verses here. But let's go back to verse number 16. Verse 15, they returned to the wall, everyone unto his work. Verse 16, "And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us." Look, we're spread out. But when you hear the sound of the trumpet, come. And when we hear the sound of the trumpet, look, our God shall fight for us, the sureness of the task. God's going to fight for us. God's going to help. Verse 21, "So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Number one, tonight it's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build. There are lives to impact. There are children to help. There are families to help. There are sinners that need to be saved. Sinners that need to be saved. Right after all this virus started, about 2 weeks after this started, there's an individual that we've been praying for a long time and that I've been witnessing to for a long time. Brother Benny and I have been witnessing to for a long time. He went into the hospital. Couldn't go to the hospital. They wouldn't let you go to the hospital. I called him on the phone one day. I asked him how he was doing. I said he was doing better. I started talking to him about salvation and about Christ. He said, I don't want to talk about that, and he hung up on me. I didn't get to talk to him. He died a week later. I pray in all of my heart that sometime in that next week that he prayed and asked Christ to save him. You see, there are people that need to be saved. There are people that are going to go out into a Christless eternity unless someone is able to take them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that numerous times we had been able to talk to him about the gospel. Many times he was very cordial and listened. I don't know what the issue was that day. But when I heard that he had passed, my heart sank because I remembered my last conversation with him. He said, I don't want to talk about that. Friend, people need to be saved. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And that's what we need to say to individuals. Come. Come. The price has been paid. The work is finished. It is finished. Nothing left to be done. Come. It's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build. Number two, it's time to return to the wall because there is wickedness to battle. There is wickedness to battle. We've said it a couple times recently, and I don't mean to belabor the point. I don't mean to be repetitious, but the devil hasn't taken a break over the last few weeks, and neither should we. There is wickedness to battle. There are walls to build, but it's time to return to the wall because there's wickedness to battle. There's wickedness for us to push back on. The people of God, the people that have the Holy Spirit, need to be pushing back against wickedness and pushing back against wickedness. Look, wickedness is running rampant in our world, and God's army needs to be pushing back against the wickedness. There is wickedness to battle. And by the way, this world, and I mean wickedness, the world, the flesh, and the devil, has no problem speaking their minds. God help us to speak what we know is truth and push back against the evil and push back against wickedness. There's an evil. We saw it just recently, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. Look, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, there is spiritual wickedness in high places in our nation. And by the way, I think it's about high time that we're not afraid to call wickedness what it is. Nancy Pelosi is trying to bring wickedness to our nation. Barack Obama brought wickedness to our nation. And they're still trying to perpetuate it even today. And we can name names. Look, Andy Beshear is bringing wickedness to the state of Kentucky. Just vetoed a Born Alive bill. Not just an abortion bill, a born alive bill, a bill that would save children that are born from being killed. Now, by the way, it's wrong when they're in the womb, and it's still wrong when they're out of the womb. But when they're out of the womb, you would think individuals would have a little more compassion. But he vetoed a born alive bill. That's evil. That's wickedness. And God's people ought to be ready. Look, Nehemiah, he's coming against Sanballat and Tobiah. And time after time in the book of Nehemiah, he said, look, I've got a great work to do. Why should the work cease? Why should I come down and talk to you? Why should I waste my time with you? You're just trying to hinder the work of God. And there is evil running rampant in our world today and in our nation today. There is wickedness to battle. And by the way, our president is not white as the wind-driven snow. But do we not see the wickedness that pounds on him every day? Every day. Do we listen to some of the questions that they ask him on a daily basis? The other day, he got a couple of questions, and he just said, look, we're done. Thank y'all. I'm leaving. If that were me, that's probably what I do every day. Really? All right, we're done. I get to go home early. Every day, it's a constant drum. That's evil. That's wickedness. And again, I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he ought to ever stand behind this pulpit right here. But day after day after day after day, wickedness and evil is pushing against those that seek to do what's right. Remember last week in Isaiah 59, last Sunday night, we talked about the fact that truth was fallen in the street. Remember what it said there in Isaiah 59, verse number 15? It said, in that environment, when you try to do right, you're going to be the prey. When truth is fallen in the street, when truth is a casualty, then you, those individuals who try to do right, who try to live by truth, you're going to be the hunted. You're going to be the prey. And friend, it's time for us to realize, and I know we realize, I'm not saying we don't realize it, but it's time for us to push back against the wickedness of this world. It's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build, because there is wickedness to battle. There were those that hated the work. Verse number 7, we already read it. Verse number 1, they were indignant. It says it in verse 1, 7, there were those that hated their work. There were those that wanted to hinder their work. Verse number 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. There were those that wanted to harm the workers. Verse number 11, they wanted to kill them. It's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build, because there is wickedness to battle. And I believe with all my heart, we need to start calling wickedness for what it is and evil for what it is. You say, Pastor, you ought not be mean to people like that. I want that individual to be saved, but we need to push back against evil. You know what the greatest thing would be? For Andy Beshear to get saved and for him to change his position on murdering babies. Okay, but while he is touting a position of murdering babies, we need to speak up against that. We need to speak up against that. Because there is wickedness to battle, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We don't necessarily wrestle against Andy Beshear. We don't necessarily wrestle against Nancy Pelosi. But we wrestle against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, those that are moving and shaping their decisions. We wrestle against that. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build. Because there is wickedness to battle. Number 3, because there is a warning to blow. There is a warning to blow. Verses 18 and 20, we read it already. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Verse 20, in what place is there? For ye hear the sound of the trumpet. By the way, when the trumpet sounded, what were they warning? They were warning of danger. They were warning of danger. Those that wanted, again, that were trying to conspire against them. We know the Bible says that their counsel was brought to naught, but they didn't stop there. And so when danger came, they were to blow the trumpet. They were to warn of the danger that was coming. It's time to return to the wall. Why? Because there is a warning to blow. There is a trumpet that needs to be blown. There's a sound that needs to be, by the way, a distinct sound. a certain sound, not an uncertain sound, a certain sound. The Bible speaks about an uncertain sound. And if it says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will it call to battle? People aren't going to know, is it time to go battle? Is it time to have a feast? What does that sound mean? The sound needs to be certain, not an uncertain sound. Because there is a warning to blow. Whether it's a warning of danger, whether it's a warning to a sinner, as we talked about this morning, that needs to be saved, whether it's warning a saint that danger is coming. Hey, mom and dad, whether it's warning a child, granddad, whether it's warning a grandson, hey, son, danger's coming. It's time to get back to the wall. It's time to return to the wall. Why? Because there's a warning that needs to be blown. Because there are walls that need to be built. Because there's wickedness that we need to battle against. It's time to get back to the wall. And by the way, tonight, again, we're not talking about anything foolish. We're talking about getting back and doing what God has called us to do. And by the way, in verse number 15, when it says, everyone unto his work, if tonight, if you don't know what that work is, then find out. Ask God to show you. Pastor, I don't know God's perfect will. Ask God to show you. Brother Snow talked about that this morning. So often we try to devise our own will and we try to do this and do that. God has a will for us. And by the way, sometimes that will isn't what we want. It's not what we want sometimes. Sometimes our hearts are pulled maybe in a certain direction, and God says, no, it's not where I want you to go. Sometimes our heart maybe is pulled toward family. No, it's not where I want you to be. I wish every family, well, I don't wish that. My flesh wishes that all families would grow up, live right next door to each other. Some are saying, that's not my wish. That's a human wish. I would love it if my three kids were close to us when they grow up. But that's probably not going to happen. I hope it does. I'd love for them to stay close to us. But if it doesn't, I want them to be in God's will. I want them to be in the center of God's will. And I want them to know everyone unto his work. I want them to know what their work is. I want them to know what that specific task that God has called them to do. I want them to know what that is. I want them to seek it out. I want them to pray. I want to pray for them. I want God to show them clearly. There's a warning to blow. There are walls to build. There's wickedness to battle. And then number four tonight will be done. Number four tonight, it's time to return to the wall. Because there are workers to bolster. What does the word bolster mean? Anybody know tonight? I know many of you probably know. It means to lift up. It means to strengthen. It means to encourage. It means to reinforce. Because there are workers to bolster. You know what? We need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to be around each other. My wife was talking to her mother this afternoon, and today was the first time they've had full or really any kind of in-person church for about 2 months. And she said, I'm so glad to be back. And she said, it's just not the same being at home. And it's not, because we need fellowship. And see, that's what a lot of people that say, well, you churches, y'all can just do this for a long time, because you can still preach, you can still get it across the internet, the airwaves, you can do that for a long time. They don't understand. We need each other. They don't understand the fellowship aspect. They don't understand how we are supposed to encourage each other. By the way, in Hebrews 10, when it talks about us not forsaking the assembly, that's what it's talking about. Because it says in the preceding verse, to provoke one another to love and to good works. That's why we meet. That's why we assemble together, to be able to encourage and provoke each other. Not in a bad way, in a good way. I know a lot of churches, they provoke each other, don't they?
Yeah.
No, in a good way. Provoke to love and to good works. Because there are workers to bolster, to support, to encourage, to reinforce. Why? Why did they need support? We already read it. Go back, if you would, real quickly. Notice verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Notice verse 17. They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon, because there are workers to bolster. Their strength was decayed, their spirit was deflated, and their sight was dimmed. Look at verse 11. Verse 10 again. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Their strength was decayed. And notice this, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Their sight was dimmed. You know what had happened? They got their sight on the greatness of the task instead of having their sight on the greatness of their God. And they needed Nehemiah, and they needed other of their brethren to come along and say, hey, God's going to fight for us. Verse 20, when you hear the God's going to fight for us. He said in verse 10, look, there's too much rubbish. We can't build this wall. Everything is broken down. How do you expect us to build this wall? They want to kill us. We're having to hold the sword and hold the trowel at the same time. How are we going to do this? Because God's going to fight for us. And you know, every single one of us need that at times. For a brother, a sister to come along and encourage and fellowship and support and reinforce, it's time to return to the wall. Because there are walls to build. Because there's wickedness to battle. If there's one, I would say that one's probably the biggest one tonight. There's wickedness to battle. Every moment, every day, every Sunday that we're put on the sidelines, the devil has free reign. There's wickedness to battle. There's a warning to blow. And there are workers to bolster, to encourage. You see, a lot of folks just don't understand what church is all about. It's not just about coming to a building. It's not just about these walls. It's not just about a piece of land and a piece of property. No, it's about the people that come here. It's about corporately assembling together. It's about the fellowship. It's about the training that we receive here. Because not everybody understands that the church is for saved people. For saved people. What we do when we assemble is primarily to train and to help and to strengthen so that we can go out and be a testimony to the lost, to lost people. So that we can go out and be light in a dark world. And we say it all the time. Look, we're excited anytime an unsaved person walks in these doors. But the church is a place for us to come and to be trained and to be equipped and to be helped and to fellowship together and strengthened from each other and provoked to love and to good works. It's time to return to the wall because there are walls to build. We're still planning on having Vacation Bible School this summer. Sometime. I don't know when that's going to be, but sometime. I hope our kids still get to go to camp this year. They may not. That's not up to me. That's not totally up to me, let me say that. I hope they still get to go to camp. I'm saddened that some of our graduates have had to do what they're having to do right now. Although I don't think they're real sad about the fact they've had 2 months off of school. I don't think they're real sad about that. Okay, so there are a lot of things that aren't what they normally are. But the church doesn't change. Our ministry and our work never changes. Ministry never stops. People still need to be saved. Families still need to be rescued. Children still need to be taught and built up. There's where the walls need to be built, right there. The lives of our children. The lives of our families. There are walls to build. There's wickedness to battle. There's a warning to blow. And there are workers who need to be bolstered. It's time to return to the wall. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Thank you for Nehemiah. Father, I thank you for our church. Father, I just preached a message that probably for the most part was just preaching to the choir, I'm sure. But Father, I do pray that it was a help and an encouragement. Father, we need to, I know we haven't stopped. And I know our folks haven't stopped. Your people here at Maranatha Baptist Church haven't stopped. But Father, we do need to return when we speak about church and ministry. We do need to return to some normalcy. And Father, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to be able to do that in the days ahead. Wickedness doesn't take a day off. The world, the flesh, and the devil doesn't take a day off. Father, we have much to battle. Father, walls that are crumbling don't fix themselves. We have walls to build. We have walls to repair. The trumpet doesn't get blown by itself. There's danger to warn people of. There's a hell to warn people of. And Father, there's a church family that needs to be supported and encouraged and helped and reinforced and strengthened. And Father, I pray that we'd help each other to do that. Father, I don't know how your Spirit has worked in hearts tonight. But Lord, if he has, I pray that we would move and I pray that we would do business with you tonight. And Father, I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Chris is going to begin to play. Friend, if you need to bow where you're at, if you need to come to one of these front pews or one of these steps on the platform, just pray and say, Lord, it's time that I get back to my specific place of work. God, help me to be able to do that. Lord, help us to return to the wall. If people need anything right now, as we mentioned this morning, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Come. That's the warning that we need to blow. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Which one are you going to choose, friend? That's the warning that we give to people. There's a real hell that lots of people are going to. There's a real heaven that people are going to as well. Friend, are you going to reject? Friend, are you going to receive? That's the message. That's the warning that we blow. A resolute witness, as we talked about this morning. Amen. Thank you so much for your attendance and for your attention today. And look forward to being back together Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And let's be in prayer for each other. Let's pray for our church in the days ahead. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our church. And I'm thankful for God's people here. And I'll say it again. Some of y'all can move to this side if you ever, anyway. and we're done. I'm going to let you out 5 minutes early tonight. My wife's mom was talking about their church this morning. The pastor put paper in every other pew that said, "Do not sit here." I said, "Well, that's what would happen in our church." Amen. Brother Adam, would you dismiss us, please, sir? Man. Yes. Amen. You are dismissed.